Chapter 2. Off Grand Isle, Louisiana, 2012 CE. Remy Fargo hovered in the warm water of the Gulf of Mexico, barely moving her fins as she worked. She finished filling her net bag with jagged pieces of a clay pot that had been nearly buried in the sand. She estimated that the original pot, as it had been over 1,000 years ago, was about 10 inches wide and 4 inches deep, and she thought she probably had gathered all of its fragments. She didn't want to risk scratching the smooth finish of the pot by putting anything else in the net bag. She looked up at the shape of the boat's hull, a dark phantom sitting 60 feet above her on the silvery underside of the water's surface. She exhaled, and the bubbles issued from her mouthpiece, then ascended, shiny globules shimmering up toward the light. Remy caught her husband Sam's eye and pointed to the net bag, then gave him a thumbs up. He held up what looked to her like a deer antler, as though he were saluting her, and nodded. Remy gave a couple of lazy kicks, and her slim, shapely body moved upward into a school of shiny bay anchovies that swirled around her like an ice storm. They left her, and she rose to the boat. She broke the surface and instantly saw the other boat in the distance. She ducked under again, swam to the other side of the dive boat, and waited for Sam. She saw his bubbles coming up from beneath her, then his head and mask. She took out her mouthpiece and breathed the air for a second. "They're here again." Sam ducked under the surface and came up at the stern, keeping himself close to the outdrive so he remained part of the boat's silhouette. "It's them, all right. The same dive boat, a black hull and gray above." He looked again. "The same six people." "It's the third day in a row," she said. "They probably think we've found the city of Atlantis." "You make a joke out of it, but it could be true. Not about Atlantis, but they don't know what we're doing here. It's the Louisiana coast. We could be diving on an old Spanish treasure ship that got blown here in a hurricane, or a Civil War ship sunk in the blockade. Or a 2003 Chevrolet that somebody drove off a bridge upriver. We're in 60 feet of water. They were probably just out here drinking beer and rubbing suntan lotion on each other." Remy drifted against Sam and held on to his shoulder so she could see the other boat. "Thank you for your lack of curiosity, Mr. Jokester. They're following us and watching what we do. Did you see that? A sun flash from a lens. Must be paparazzi taking my picture." "Keep it up. But just remember, having strangers think we found something valuable could be just as dangerous as actually finding something valuable. Thieves attack you before they count your money." "Okay," he said. "They've kept their distance for 3 days. If they come any closer, we'll have a talk with them. Meanwhile, we've got to get that sunken village mapped. The past few weeks have been interesting, but I don't feel like devoting the rest of my life to salvage archaeology." Sam and Remy Fargo always claimed their reputation as treasure hunters had come from catching the attention of a few imaginative reporters on a slow news day. They shared a strong interest in history and the urge to go out and see it for themselves. This spring, they had volunteered to do some diving for the state of Louisiana. An archaeologist named Ray Holbert had been on the shore, looking at the coast for damage from the oil leaks after an oil drilling platform had burned, when he had found some potsherds washed up from the Gulf onto the beach. They were clearly of native origin and quite old. He had asked for a grant from the oil company to salvage what had seemed to be a sunken village. When Sam and Remy had heard about the project, they had offered to pay their own expenses and help. Remy said, "Come down with me. I think I found another hearth. Bring the camera." Sam pulled himself up over the gunwale to reach the underwater camera, and they submerged again. Remy seemed to lose herself in the work. She led him to the stone hearth and let him examine it while she took the camera and photographed the site from every angle to record the positions of the potsherds around it. He watched the graceful movements of her body, in her wetsuit looking a bit like her own shadow, and noticed a thin wisp of auburn hair had escaped from the hood of her suit at her forehead. He caught her bright green eyes looking at him through the glass of her mask, so he forced himself to relinquish the sight of her and look at the ring of charred stones.